chapter 9 is assume that the person you are listening to might know something you don't. This is a chapter about conversation and about the different forms conversation takes. It's a chapter about humility, and it's a chapter about listening. And the humility element is, it took me a long time to understand why there's religious injunctions supporting humility. To even understand what the word really meant in that sort of technical sense, and it means something like this. It means what you don't know is more important than what you know. And that's a lovely thing to, then what you don't know can start to be your friend, you see. People are very defensive about what they know, and for the reasons we've already discussed. But the thing is, you don't know enough. And you can tell you don't know enough because your life is not what it could be, and neither is the life of the people around you. You just don't know enough. And so, what that means is that every time you encounter some evidence that you're ignorant, someone points it out, you should be happy about that because you think, oh, you just told me how I'm wrong. It's like, great. Like maybe I had to sift through a lot of nonsense to get through the real message that you're telling me. But if you could actually tell me some way that I'm wrong and then maybe give me a hint about how to not be wrong like that, well, then I wouldn't have to be wrong like that anymore. That would be a good thing. And you can embark on that adventure by listening to people. And if you listen to people, they'll tell you amazing things if you listen to them. And many of those things are little tools that you can put in your toolkit, like Batman, and then you can go out into the world and use those tools, and you don't have to fall blindly into a pit quite as often. And so the humility element is, well, do you want to be right, or do you want to be learning? And it's deeper than that. It's, do you want to be the tyrannical king who's already got everything figured out? Or do you want to be the continually transforming hero, or fool for that matter, who's getting better all the time? And that's actually a choice, you know. It's a deep choice, and it's better to be the self-transforming fool who's humble enough to make friends with what he or she doesn't know, and to listen when people talk. And listening is a transformative exercise. Like if you listen to the people in your life, for example, if you actually listen to them, they'll tell you what's wrong with them and how to fix it and what they want. They can't even help it if you start listening, because people are so shocked if you actually listen to them that they tell you all those sorts of things that they might not have even intended to, things they don't even know. And then you can work with that. And so, and the other thing that's so interesting, you know, now and then you have a meaningful conversation, right? You have a good conversation with somebody, you walk away and you think, geez, you know what? We really connected, and I know more than I did when I came away from that conversation. And during the conversation, you're really engrossed in it. And that feeling of being engrossed is a feeling of meaning, and the feeling of meaning is engendered because you're having a transformative conversation. So your brain produces that feeling of meaning for you. It says, oh yeah, this is exactly where you should be, right here and now. It's the right place and time for you. And that's a great place to occupy. And so a good conversation where people are listening has exactly that nature. And the reason it has that nature is because it is in fact transformative. It's one of the truisms of clinical psychology. Like if you're a clinical psychologist, a huge part of what you do is just listen to people. It's like, you know, they come in, they're unhappy, and they'd rather not be, something like that. You say, well, why do you think you might be unhappy? And they don't know. They have some ideas, and they may have to ramble around for like a year before they figure out why they're unhappy. They get rid of a bunch of reasons why they thought they were unhappy that are untrue, and then you kind of get to the heart of the problem. Then you might ask them, well, if you could have what you wanted so that your life would be okay, what would that look like? Then they have to ramble around a bunch about that because they don't really know. But the listening will straighten them out, because people think by talking. And in order to think, you have to have someone to listen, because it's very hard to think. Hardly anyone can think. And even the people who can think can only think about a limited number of things. But almost everybody can talk, and you can listen to yourself talk, and if someone listens to you, then you also have a foil for your thoughts, right? Because you can watch the person when you're talking and see if you're boring, or see if you're amusing, or if you're engrossing, all of those things. And so, listening, that's a very good thing. I outline a Carl Rogers dictum. He was a famous clinical psychologist. This is another great little tip. Rogers said, here's a trick to tell if you're listening. So let's say someone lays out their perspective for you, and then what you do is say, look, here's what I think you said. I think you said this and this and this and this and then this. Is that right? Have I got what you're saying right? And maybe the person says, God, you haven't been listening at all. And, you know, then they have to straighten you out. Or maybe they say, yeah, yeah, you got it. And then the nice thing about that is that you summarize their argument for them, which can be very helpful, and for you, but also you don't get to make the person into a straw man. So like if you're arguing with your wife, let's say, or your husband, big party is gonna wanna win. That's stupid, because if you win, you get to be top lobster, but they get to be bottom lobster. And if you wanna live with bottom lobster, then like more power to you, but I wouldn't recommend it. Right, because you don't want that. You wanna defeat your wife in an argument. Oh, well, great. Like if she was gonna disappear tomorrow, no problem. But like, you're gonna like live with defeated, miserable her for the next week? That's no good. So you listen and you think, okay, well, here's what I think you said, and maybe even make it a little stronger and more elaborated than was the case with the original utterance, so that you get the damn argument right. And because you don't want to win, you want to fix the problem. That's the winning. And so the summary with listening is so useful for that, because the person can say, well, yeah, that's what I meant. It's like, then you have to grapple with that. And Roger said, well, people usually won't, because, you know, if you live with someone and they tell you the truth about the situation, it usually means that there's something really stupid that you're doing. Well, them too, but there's something stupid that you're doing that you know you're doing that you actually have to stop. And, you know, that's difficult and unlikely, but, well, if you don't stop, then you get to have the same damn problem every day or every week for the rest of your life. So it's probably better to undergo the misery of stopping it than the misery of continuing it. But that's the injunction to listen.